meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Hi, Tony and Christina.
Father, good to see you.
Welcome Nick
back,
on the other
Father.
Side. Yeah, it's been a while. It seems like it's been at least a couple of weeks.
Feels like forever.
Yes.
The summer's going too fast. We're beyond the halfway mark, and we're getting ready for the los chiquititos, the children.
Yes.
The students are coming in a couple of weeks. They start in, I think, 2 weeks.
Oh, that's something it just dawned on me. It's something I've always hated about the end of summer. I was always thinking about going back to school, and you just gave me the flashback.
Right.
Yeah,
Yeah, but this isn't even the end of summer. I mean, you know, for whatever reason, it seems like every year they come back earlier and earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So, but whatever. They're back on the 20th, so that's less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I think a week ago. Monday. Well, anyway, whatever. They're coming back. So, and we're happy. You know, we're happy about that.
And the stores have the back-to-school sales.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
I remember I used to see that, and I'd get depressed.
I know, yeah. It's like that Sunday evening. What is it about Sunday evening that brings this kind of natural depression, you know, because it's a flashback to, subconsciously, we flash back to when we were kids in school, and Sunday evening was, I always remember that, you know, as the afternoon was passing us by, there was just this darkness that started to descend, and depression. I thank God for Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
Because that was on do they still have that on Sunday?
Not anymore.
No.
Nobody watches TV
anymore.
The
movies?
Yeah, they had
Disney
that. That was before.
What was that called? That was
Wonderful World
The Wonderful
of Disney.
World of Disney, yeah.
Yeah.
Before Disney became
and
the
And Bonanza, followed
Bonanza.
By Bonanza.
Yeah.
You know, so those were the, that was a little bit of a respite from the depression that was setting in, you know. But, yeah, it's to this day, you know, it happens, it comes.
Yes.
Not so much, no. For me, I shouldn't say that, because I like a Sunday evening because it's the end of the weekend, and I love the final Mass of the day.
Sure.
So my last Mass is at 5:30.
And I think that's when you finally get the rest.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because that Mass is, it's in the evening, it's quiet,
yes.
It's just seems more focused. I mean, we try to always be focused, but it's... It's just winding down the weekend, because weekends here are... And this past weekend was grueling. It was nonstop. But beautiful. We had really beautiful Masses. We had a huge wedding, right?
Yes.
Quinceañera.
Yes, it was beautiful. Both of them.
Baptisms and then all the Sunday Masses.
Yes.
So, but it was hot. We were just talking about that before. It's hot in the studio here, but thank God
draining.
Nick brought in the fans. And it's what?
The heat is draining.
Draining. I thought you said it was raining.
It's raining.
No, it's draining.
Is it raining?
Oh,
no.
No, it looks like it, but no, it's not raining.
Yeah. Anyway, it's good to be back. And the winds have changed, you know, and so indeed they have. And try to put things in perspective. And I'll tell you that more and more, it's the realism of the times in which we live, you know, and that we not... as somebody said, I was just in retreat this past week with a priest, and our superior general was here from Rome, and he gave the retreat, and he said either if we're not swimming against the current, we're dead fish, because a dead fish
Those ghosts
go with the current.
They go, yes. Mm-hmm.
The live fish swim against the current. So he mentioned that last week, and then I was reading an article this morning by, or a commentary on the words of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, and I want to share that with you. We have right behind, is it still there? I'm assuming right
it's
behind me, his mitre. But very prophetic words that he spoke in 1974. You got to put it in the context of the time and think about where we've come since then, you know. Mm-hmm. But he already, you know, already he saw what was coming. Now, as I say this, it's not the, and I've said this to you before, you know, I consider I seem to be a pessimistic person, but I'm not without hope. Again, it goes back to realism, You know, I'm not going to, I'd rather be pessimistic. By the way, you know, I was reading somewhere not too long ago that pessimism is a good thing. To be extremely pessimistic is not.
Right.
If you have no faith, I don't know how you can be pessimistic and not despair, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with faith, you know, faith brings us hope.
Mm-hmm.
So as we fight the good fight, we claim the victory. We see the cross, we feel the weight of the cross, mm-hmm. but we see beyond the cross. So we know that all things end well. For those who love God, God brings good from evil, light from darkness, and death from life. But we've got to read the signs of the times, don't you think? So what I want to do today is, and today is the feast of St. Sixtus, who was a pope and a martyr, and his companions also who are martyred. I was actually visited the tomb of Callistus, I think it was the name of the catacombs of St. Callistus. I think that's the name of the catacombs, but I saw the place where they were, I believe it was there that they were actually murdered while they were celebrating Mass in the catacombs,
wow.
And it's there that they're buried. But if we get a chance, I'll read from St. Cyprian. This goes back to the third century of the church. They were martyred under the persecution of Valerian. But you hear the words of St. Cyprian as he's basically trying to encourage the church of the time, you know, that we got to keep faith and we got to persevere and we've got to, you know, be rid of any fear and we've got to basically, as I said just now, see beyond the cross into the glory and the light of the resurrection. And so I say that in our time, let me go through the, go back to the apparitions or the message of Our Lady of La Salette. Is that okay? Do you guys have anyone you want to share something?
No.
Okay, all right, we'll do that. Okay. Just don't want to,
no.
monopolize here,
which is
my job to do that.
I would think that.
So anyway, but just chime in whenever you want, you know, raise
sure.
your hand so I can call on you. but this is I happen to read both these commentaries. The one by Fulton Sheen I actually read the other day and I saved it and wanted to come back to it and I just couldn't remember what it was. I'd saved something that I wanted to share mm-hmm. with our listeners, but as I was reading this, it
came to you.
It came to me, and so I was able to download it. But let's just begin with this. This is a commentary by Michael Brown, I believe, but it's a commentary on the message of Our Lady of La Salette, and these apparitions in this message, I think, goes back to the late 19th century. So I think it was 1893 or somewhere around there. But as a prelude to that, he begins by, first of all, he's addressing the uproar, understandable and growing over sexual abuse in the clergy. You know, of late, among the hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been on the radio. Have they talked about that at all? Or
No, I haven't.
Okay. So I'm not going to go into all the details. We know that. I mean, it's in, right. It's in the news all the time. This is a horrific reality that we're having to deal with at this time. But he says, you know, this is part of an overall intensification everywhere in all segments of culture and society of evil. The darkness is rising and deepening. Now, you can argue that, but if your eyes are open and you're looking around,
right,
you wonder.
It. Yeah.
But it's... So the crisis, the darkness rising, deepening in the family, in the workplace, on the road, on the internet, in stores, even in the church, discord, dissatisfaction, antagonism, that where there are evil spirits, those spirits seem to be gaining momentum, power. And he says this is part of the test of the times. And it's interesting because I had just written my letter for the bulletin for this week, and so he was reflecting already. So it was kind of a confirmation of what I was writing without going into specifics. But he says the test of the times in which we live can be traced back to the 1940s and 1960s. Really, you can trace it back all the way to the Enlightenment. But in any case... The spirits, evil spirits, remember the devil's a deceiver, he's a seducer, he creates the illusion. And I find myself more and more thinking about and talking about the devil. I think even Sunday I spoke about that at the Mass, about him. But and I think, again, it's part of the realism of what we have to understand what is really happening. Not that we put the blame on the devil. We have to each take responsibility for our lives. You know, we have to make sure that we're not leaving ourselves to be seduced or deceived, to be toyed with, to buy into an illusion. Again, we keep in mind what Jesus said, that Satan is the prince of this world. He's the father of lies. He's a prince of darkness. But he comes in the guise of light, right? It's a deceptive he is. But that these spirits begin to move through music, through entertainment, through academia, sexual mores, art, education, media, personal relationships, families, politics, science, and religion. And religion. And, you know, if the devil can get, I mean, we're just going to go, he wants to, because it's to destroy, dissuade, destroy, divide and destroy the mystical body. The church, right? Because this is the sacrament in the world that mediates the grace, that tries to God working through the church to awaken humanity to the truth that we've been created by God and we're destined for God, but we have to, God isn't going to force Himself into our lives. Love is got to be a mutual
two-way street.
There's got to be this receptivity. We got to be receptive. So in any case, the intensification has what continues to vitiate our institutions, and the overt manifestation of this is pride and arrogance, which have targeted, as he says, he suggests, and it's true, the clergy, manifested as an elitism, a distance from the flock, a feeling of elevation, when it is the host, not the priest, who should be elevated. And he speaks about the throne-like chair, which replaced the tabernacle behind the altar in many churches. Yep. And it, what does that say, right? Yep. This is manifested in intellectuality, an aura, a superiority. And he goes on and on. And so he says, well, many, and I've been reading a lot of this too, many Catholic commentators toss back and forth the names of cardinals and bishops of Vatican policies, who knew what, or, you know, what new rules and regulations should be put in place, how the matter should be adjudicated. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of like discussing bishops as if this is politics. It's to miss the key wellspring which is that simple invasion of demons. And he says this shouldn't be a surprise because, you know, and it shouldn't be a traumatic discouragement. But the problem is that we dismiss the mysticism of the mystics or the saints in a singular way, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so then he goes into the whole apparition or the message of Our Lady of La Salette. And so we'll take a break, and then when I come back, I want to share the message because, you know, just listen to what, and it was 1846, I'm sorry. She gave this message in 1846, and we'll come back and listen to that and just, you know, listen to it within the context of the times in which we're living. So we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
This is a prayer request from Winds of Change. We are asking for prayers for our St. Stan's parishioner, Juan Martinez's mother, Maria del Rosario Hernandez, who was just diagnosed with brain cancer. We truly believe in the power of prayer. Let us unite in prayer for her and for the entire family as they begin a challenging journey. Thank you. Cruise on over to St. Stan's August Fun Fest, Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. Bring your family, bring your friends for great ethnic foods, children's games, prizes, inflatables, music, raffles, and a dump tank. The proceeds will go to benefit St. Stan's Parish and School. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest is easy to find. Just one block north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy Expressway. Join the fun Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm really fascinated by the message of Our Lady of La Salette. Because, again, hear this, the message, in the context of the times we're living in, and the suggestion, and I truly believe this, I think what's lacking right now and what's most needed is that the truth be true to who she, the church be true to who she is, and that her life is imbued with the Spirit of God, and that there is this mysticism, this mystery, that allows for great freedom and great peace. We don't have to have all the answers, but that God is moving in the midst of his body, the church, that the church is the sacrament that mediates the grace. But if we get caught up in the ways of the world, or if we're not astute to the combat, the spiritual combat, that we are in a spiritual war. I mean, my gosh, you know, at baptism we go through an exorcism. You know, we renounce Satan and his tactics, his deceptions. So how is it that we just kind of put him out of our mind? Not our focus has got to be on God, but we have to be aware of what we're up against. You know, the demons or the spirits of the world that seek to do, and how can you not look around and begin to? It would almost seem that it would be easier today to believe in the power of the demonic, do I dare say, than in the power of God, because in many ways, evil seems to have the upper hand. Now, having said that, I remind you as I remind myself, because this is where you got to detach sometimes from the news. And I mean really, because it's just overwhelming. But if you go through the course of a day, more often than not, the people we deal with, the people we interact with, there is goodness and there is courtesy and kindness, and don't you think? But yeah, think so? Yeah.
I was thinking in my mind, when you said something earlier, I was thinking, okay, when people you don't think that there's a devil, or you don't think there's evil, I think of all the horror films that come out, and it's almost like it's glorified. You can see that. I can go there and see that, but I mean, put it up against The Life of Christ, a movie of The Life of Christ. I think most people would go see the horror film. Then they would
say, yeah, that's interesting you say that. You know, why is that? You know, it's why we have this, it just seems like, well, not everybody, because I tell you, I've told you this before, but I don't like those kind of movies, horror films and all that. But we do have a natural inclination what do we say? Our battle is against the world, that is, the world not under the dominion of Christ. Our battle is against Satan, the enemy, and our battle is against the flesh. And so we have a natural inclination, but see, the devil works through it all. But let me go through this message, and it will, because I want to get to the words of Archbishop Fulton Sheen as well. But in La Salette, the church, or the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, said that, and I believe this is the apparition where she's seated, and she's has her head in her hands, as if in a posture of grief, of sadness. I believe this is the apparition. But she says that the church will be in eclipse. The world will be in dismay. She says holy places will be in a state of corruption. She prophesied that many convents will no longer be houses of God, but the grazing grounds of Asmodeus, which is a major demon, especially of the New Age and his like. Now, this is 1846.
Wow.
I saw a lot when I was in the seminary in the 70s into the 80s. No exaggeration. I'm not even going to go into some of the stuff I saw. I was shocked by what was happening, but it was the spirit of the age. It was a time in which we were living. And so at the university, there were all kinds of religious communities and religious sisters and convents and a lot of students, but there was also radical feminism, the beginning of the radical homosexual movement within the society. This is again going into the 70s and the 80s, and of course there was the horrific AIDS epidemic. That, by the way, I just was reading today that there's a resurgence of that because of the opioids and drug use. Opioids is a drug that's killing young people all over the place.
It's used for pain, right? Most of the time, the opioid.
Right, that's what they give you after major surgery and all that, you know. So, but anyway, so she said she warned the Blessed Virgin warned that many people, even priests, she says, would not have been guided by the good spirit of the gospel, which is a spirit of humility, charity, and zeal for the glory of God. And what about this crisis? She says that churches will be locked up and desecrated. I mean, closed parishes, churches turned into condos today, museums, ballrooms, theaters, even bars, in one case a strip club. This is a reality in our time. You know, and when I was in Amsterdam, in the square, the beautiful, I mean, from a distance, I saw the beautiful, beautiful church. And I went, and as I think I shared this on the radio, but there was this huge picture, a photo of Marilyn Monroe. I thought, well, what, it was from a distance, so I wonder why that is in front of the church. This is a beautiful medieval church. I got there, and the church had been turned into a museum.
Wow.
It was no longer a church.
I saw that in a program.
Yeah.
Where these churches were turned into
restaurants or
and then not too far from there, yeah, within the same square or, mm-hmm, or right off the square, was another beautiful, beautiful church, and it was a restaurant, sure, and yeah, a mall.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe that. Wow. Yes,
yeah.
Yes, I saw that.
And but what was interesting when I went to the, and I was very, very sad when I went to the, yeah, the church where I saw, yeah, the image of Marilyn Monroe, and I went in, and I didn't go into the museum. I just wanted to find out, was this a Catholic church? Well, of course it was. I knew it was, but I wanted to hear from the people working there. Right. And so one of the young, a young woman who was working as a, whatever they were, mm-hmm, at the ticket place,
right,
where the, I said, "Is, was this a Catholic church?" And she said, "Well, I don't know."
Wow.
I don't, was it a church? I don't know. If it was, you know, the point was, she had, not, she had clue, no clue,
wow,
that it was even a church. And yet, from the outside, it was visibly, beautifully marked as a, the, you know, the, mm-hmm, the medieval, and medieval church. I was trying to think of what it was like, you know, on a day when it was built, and, you know, you had, it very sad.
It's sad.
It's something to think about, too, because I know people don't, they're indifferent. There's so much indifference.
Indifference.
But right now, to think about what's happening around the world could easily happen here.
It's happening here.
Well, yeah, starting, but I mean, yeah, just like an overall. Just,
sure,
one day you go past St. Stan's and it's a restaurant.
It's happening.
You know? It's happening.
It's happening. Well, San Bonifacio, St.
Right.
Boniface.
Yes. That's another place.
It's going to be made into condominiums.
Oh, wow. Is it?
Yeah.
And it's been abandoned there, and it has all graffiti.
Sure.
And it's just,
and I mean, you
abandoned,
know, I understand, you know, there's demographic changes, and when people don't have the faith and you don't have the, as one of the priests told me at one of the neighboring parishes, that neighborhood was once 100% Catholic, and now he says it's only about 1% Catholic.
Mm. It's a shame.
You know?
So people are oblivious. Even like the program that I saw, the church that was turned into a restaurant, a lot of the sacred vessels,
oh, sure,
are being used for other things.
Yeah, that's been going on for a long time.
It's like, wow, that's so sad.
In St. Louis, where I studied, where I was in the seminary, and this is going back to the, again, late 1970s, 1980s. I was ordained in 1984, but there was an Italian restaurant that was, you walk in to the restaurant, and it was all the furnishings of a church,
yeah,
the pews, the tabernacle,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
everything, the statues, vigil lights. They took it from the pawn shops or where the, you know, this is when the, again, this is was a sign of the times, mm-hmm, too. You know, the churches began to trash sacred, mm-hmm, objects, sacred, sacred icons, iconography, yeah, and the sacred vessel. All that, yeah, was trashed. It was yeah, sold to pawn shops.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Sad. So, but as you'll see with Archbishop Fulton Sheen, and you know he's speaking in, mm-hmm, in 1974. But let me finish with these messages, okay, of, mm-hmm, Our Lady of La Salette. So she says, you know, the about the churches, you know, being turned into or will be locked up and desecrated. Mm-hmm. We know today. I say she didn't say this, but she didn't say they were going to be turned into condos and museums. Right. But for us, this would be a desecration, and this is exactly what's happened.
Yes.
And she says that there will be the rise of a false church within the true church, one built not on the charisms of Christ, but intellectual pretension.
Mm.
She says many of those in charge of religious communities, she said, be on your guard against the people they must receive, for the devil will resort to all his evil tricks to introduce sinners into religious orders. Well, of course, who is not a sinner, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But is there a disposition for holiness of life, for the transformative power, the purging power of the Holy Spirit? Because if the Lord calls us to a life of consecration, then we have to be open to that sacrificial, mm-hmm, that walk which is sacrificial, mm-hmm, which is allowing ourselves to be purged and to be transformed. We remain imperfect and sinners, but you get the point that, mm-hmm, she's making. She said that the priests, ministers of my son, the priests, by their wicked lives, by their irreverence and their impiety in the celebration of the holy mysteries, by their love of money, their love of honors and pleasures, the priests have become cesspools of impurity. That's what she said.
Wow.
The chiefs, the leaders of the people of God, have neglected prayer and penance, and the devil has bedimmed their intelligence.
Hmm.
She says, woe to the priests and those dedicated to God who by their unfaithfulness and their wicked lives are crucifying my son again. So that's the hard stuff of her message, you know. And the thing is, it's a biblical, it's St. Paul speaks about that. Was it just the other day we heard that, didn't we? He said, I was speaking to some priests I went back to the Paul's words to the priests in Ephesus when he says, I leave, and I've mentioned this many times because when I heard it, I felt like I had heard it for the first time. This was some years ago, and it's always it remains in my head. I think I even mentioned it on Sunday about the because I said, you know, how people want the soft and the comfortable and the, you know, don't rock the boat.
Right.
Give us sweet, loving Jesus, you know, simple and docile and meek and humble, you know, who, not the Jesus who cracks the whip, right?
Mm.
You know, so, I mean, Jesus, you get the point. He certainly is meek and humble, but it's in that that his power is manifested.
Mm-hmm.
But he does crack the whip. And when Paul says to the priests, he says, I'm leaving. He's leaving Ephesus. I'm leaving now. I've been with you. And he says, I warn you, just as the message is saying. So there's this shouldn't be a surprise mm-hmm. to us, these words of the Blessed Virgin, because this is a reality all through history. And that's why we have to be astute. We have to be sensitive. We can't lose our sensitivity to the things of God and all things sacred, or our sensitivity to sin. But St. Paul said, you know, ravenous wolves are going to come to devour, to destroy. And I'm warning you now, be prepared. That's what he told the priests, right? And he says, I leave with a clean conscience because I didn't withhold from you the full counsel of God. I told you the truth, right? So, you know, in any case, but the flip side to this is, as Scripture predicts, that Enoch and Eli will come. In other words, there will come those filled with the Spirit of God. They will preach with the might of God, and men of goodwill will believe in God, and many souls will be comforted. They will make great steps forward through the virtue of the Holy Spirit and will condemn the devilish lapses. So the mystical church will supplant the false one, because the falsehood doesn't prevail,
mm-hmm.
you know. So there will be this this illumination, but we're going to have to go through a good breakdown, a breakdown of falsity, a purification. In other words, it has to happen, and this is what we know has to happen today. The question, I guess, is, are we humble enough to admit that we need not a renewal, but a reform, but a reform? We need to be purged. We need to be transformed. We need to be sanctified in order to fulfill our mission, our charge before God, rendered to the people of God, because the church is the sacrament. And it's not just the bishops and the priests and the Pope, put them in there too, but it's everybody.
Everybody.
But if the shepherds, see, you know, as Jesus said, you strike the shepherd, the sheep scatter. So if we can bring the shepherds down, then, you know, you got to get to the head, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the body deteriorates. Again, having said that, there's no justification. So, you know, who was that? Do you remember the guy, Flip Wilson?
Flip Wilson.
Yeah. What did he used to say? Was it he? Who did he say? The devil made me do it?
I think he did.
Yeah, I think he was the one.
The devil made me do it.
You know? And so, you know, we can say that. We can say, you know, well, the devil made me do it. But no, it's we succumb.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's what we pray in the Our Father. Jesus gave us a petition, deliver us not into evil.
Mm-hmm.
Deliver us not into the hands of the evil one. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation. In other words, save me from myself, because my natural inclination is to the things of this world, the things of the flesh, the seductions, the deceptions, the illusion of the enemy, the devil, a world that says, you know, a world that is not under the dominion of God, that says, do whatever you want. It's okay, you know. You deserve it, you know. You're the most important. You're the center, right? And so that's our natural inclination. And so, you know, it's but we make the choice, and we make bad choices. And thank God for God's mercy, and thank God the primary mission of the church is what, as the gospel says, and as Our Lady says, repent of your sins, be converted. Metanoia, a change of heart, a change of life, right? This is the at the heart of the God, the mercy of God, that I want to save you from yourself. I want to bring you out of your darkness into my light. You don't perceive the dark because you choose not to come into the light, as the scripture says, but I'm here to save you from yourself. But you've got to humble yourself, and you've got to acknowledge. And it's often not until somebody hits rock bottom. And that's why if we're not living with authenticity, sinners that we are, but seeking to be reconciled daily with God, seeking daily to nurture our intimacy with God and to understand, as get into maybe Thursday, but the that we not neglect the work of the soul. If we're not doing that, then we become no different from those in the world. And so when people hit rock bottom, they look, and this is a problem, I think, you know, people look, well, where's the Holy Church? Mm-hmm. Where is she? Well, she's here. Yet ensures that there will be this Anawim, those who remain faithful. But anyway, so we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and share with you the words of Fulton Sheen, which really complement what I've just spoken here in this message of Our Lady of La Salette. Again, read the signs of the times, you know, and respond. Do something. Do so. And have, don't, yeah, don't be rightfully pessimistic, but not without hope, because the victory is ours. The gates of hell shall not prevail. All right, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Cruise on over to St. Stan's August Fun Fest, Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. Bring your family, bring your friends for great ethnic foods, children's games, prizes, inflatables, music, raffles, and a dump tank. The proceeds will go to benefit St. Stan's Parish and School. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest is easy to find. Just one block north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy Expressway. Join the fun Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Here we are sitting in the middle of the prairie at Annunciation Parish in beautiful Homer Glen, Illinois. And with me is Father Tom Loyer. Father Tom, please tell us about Prairie Fest.
This is the 11th anniversary of Prairie Fest, which is a festival for the entire family where you'll enjoy music, a grand cash raffle with $15,000 in total prizes, a beer tent, animal shows, juggling, wine art, and more.
Prairie Fest kicks off Friday, August 10th at 5 p.m. with music by Echo and Duransom. Next at 7:30, enjoy longtime Chicagoland favorites M&R Rush. Saturday, August 11th, is Family Day, starting at noon with kids' games, animal shows, juggling, and much, much more. The music kicks off with Common Allies at 4:30. Next, at 7:30, enjoy the Hat Guys. Sunday, August 12th, is Polka Day. Starting at 11 a.m., prepare to polka with the Polka Generations Band.
While you're enjoying all of this music, food, and fun, take a guided tour of this beautiful prairie and experience the church's breathtaking interior during the Annunciation Parish Church Tours.
Only a $5 cover for those 14 and up.
$3 cover for those 3 through 13, $5 for on-premises parking each day, or free shuttle from the remote lot.
For early registration discount for the Wine Art Studio and event schedule, visit ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com.
Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 10th through the 12th at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So, just shared with you the message of Our Lady of La Salette, and I say, you know, listen to that within the context of the times we're in. But again, it's not any different from the gospel message or from the epistle. So, already in the early church, this contradiction was present. You know, there was this battle. It's always going to be, but we have to. You know, the times have changed. So let me go right into, so we don't, I'd like to get through this with the Archbishop, Fulton Sheen. I mean, you know, think of just this past weekend in Chicago. What happened?
Oh.
70-some shootings.
Yep.
I think it's a record. I forgot how many died, how many young people died, you know, and the media, the talking heads of the media, politics, nobody wants to go to the root of the problem.
Nope.
Or they just, maybe they'll touch on it, but they don't, you know, it's a crisis. It's a crisis of faith. It's a crisis of morality. Mm. It's a crisis in the family. It's the absence of men, absence of fathers. It's dependence, you know, being dependent on the state, you know. It's this is a problem that can be resolved. But only if we deal with it in truth and do something about it. But we skirt the issue. We politicize and, you know, it's basically the crisis in the family. Lack of morality. Again, look, the music. Well, let's look at what Fulton Sheen said in 1974. So think about this. It's 1974. He says, we are at the end of Christendom. Now, not Christianity, not the church. We're not at the end of Christianity or the church, but we're at the end of Christendom. Christendom is economic, political, social life as inspired by Christian principles. That, he said, is ending. We've seen it die. This is 1974. He says, look at the symptoms. 1974, the breakup of the family, divorce, abortion, immorality, general dishonesty. And we know what's happened even since then. Who would have thought in 1974 that there would come a time when we would put the marriage of two men or two women on the same, you know, equal with the marriage of a man and a woman. It was inconceivable, right?
Yeah.
Inconceivable. And the bishop, the archbishop, reminded us that 22 civilizations have decayed since the beginning of the world. 19 rotted and perished from within. He said, we live in it from day to day, and we do not see the decline. We take it for granted. We get used to things and almost accept them as a rule. Despite the decline blaring today, isn't that the rule? How many Catholics accept the counter message to humane vitae, which is basically the free reign of the flesh? He pointed out that the press that we read, the television that we see, that was even before computers, right? And before the cell phone. But he said the press that we read, the television that we see, is in no instance inspired by Christian principles. As a matter of fact, there is, on the part of many of us, the tendency to go down to meet the world, not to lift the world up. We're afraid of being unpopular, so we go with a mob, so Fulton Sheen said. And then he spoke about that we're living in the fourth 500-year period of church history, that the church is not a continuing thing. It dies and rises again. It proceeds on the principle of Christ himself as priest and victim. So it's the church is involved in this paschal mystery, this dying and rising. And so he says there comes the defeat, the seeming decay. We're put in the grave, and then we rise again. And he says we've had four deaths in our Christian history. First, three falls and rises. The first was the fall of the Roman Empire. That was the first 500-year period. And it had rebirth when the great missionaries like Augustine in England and Patrick in Ireland spread the faith. The second was the decay around the year 1000 with the Muslim invasions and the split of the church with the schism in Constantinople. And he said it seemed that it seemed to be the end of everything. And then we came to life again. In the third 500-year period, he said the church became rotten as nuns and priests were defecting. And then came the reformers, who almost always reform the wrong things. And they began reforming the faith, and yet there was nothing wrong with the faith. It was the morals that needed to be reformed. A reformation that's needed today. Not like the Reformation in the 16th century. You don't separate from the church. You don't break up the body of Christ. Jesus, as we know, God will raise up the saints to purify. He'll chastise and purify and transform and sanctify. That's why I say we look down through history. We don't look at all those who deviate. And we all deviate to some extent. But we look to those who God raises up, the saints, who heroically rise above themselves, who really live that sacrificial love where they lay themselves on the altar of sacrifice so that they have communion with Jesus, give Jesus full possession of their lives in order to really fight the good fight and claim the victory and bring that victory into the life of the church. So, but he says now we're in the fourth period, and he says we're rotting, we're spoiled, no great zeal, no great learning, no great fire. Yet there's hope because anyone who knows history shouldn't be disturbed. And Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. So he speaks about even the enemies of the church, and he says, but in the first 500-year period, the enemies have been, in all these 500-year periods, the enemies have been separate and distinct. He said we had in the first decay or decline, after the first 500 years, it was the false doctrine which centered around the person of Christ, the Christological heresies. The second was split open, and was one of the reasons why the Muslims were able to develop in the way that they were, that they did. He said the next period saw attacks on the head of the church, leading to the Eastern Church breaking away. And the 16th century, the attack was on the body of Christ, the mystical body, the church. It was the Reformation time. He said today the enemy is the world, the spirit of the world. Today we have to conform to the world or we're branded. We have to be politically correct. But Jesus says, I've taken you out of the world. And we say, no, we have to win the world. And to win it, we have to be one with it. But Jesus says, I pray not for the world. I was praying for the spirit of the world. And he said, that the bishop said, this is the easiest way to fall into worldliness. It's so simple. And it can be justified for 1,000 reasons. So the Second Vatican Council said, go into the world. But it didn't say to become the world, but to go into the world. What do we say? We're in the world, but not of the world. Again, we're talking about the world that is not under the dominion of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the attitude was, we got to befriend the world. If we show ourselves like the world, they're going to love us. They're going to accept us. They're going to come running to our doors. It's just the opposite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just the opposite. We have to take another break. Okay, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Winds of Change on AM 750. Help me.
AM 750
WNDZ.
This is a prayer request from Winds of Change. We are asking for prayers for our St. Stan's parishioner, Juan Martinez's mother, Maria del Rosario Hernandez, who was just diagnosed with brain cancer. We truly believe in the power of prayer. Let us unite in prayer for her and for the entire family as they begin a challenging journey. Thank you. Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know, stop or go, hot or cold, up or down, this way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation one way or the other.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Here we are sitting in the middle of the prairie at Annunciation Parish in beautiful Homer Glen, Illinois. And with me is Father Tom Loya. Father Tom, please tell us about Prairie Fest.
This is the 11th anniversary of Prairie Fest, which is a festival for the entire family where you'll enjoy music, a grand cash raffle with $15,000 in total prizes, a beer tent, animal shows, juggling, wine art, and more.
Prairie Fest kicks off Friday, August 10th at 5 p.m. with music by Echo and Duransom. Next at 7:30, enjoy longtime Chicagoland favorites M&R Rush. Saturday, August 11th, is Family Day, starting at noon with kids' games, animal shows, juggling, and much, much more. The music kicks off with Common Allies at 4:30. Next, at 7:30, enjoy the Hat Guys. Sunday, August 12th, is Polka Day. Starting at 11 a.m., prepare to polka with the Polka Generations Band.
While you're enjoying all of this music, food, and fun, take a guided tour of this beautiful prairie and experience the church's breathtaking interior during the Annunciation Parish Church Tours.
Only a $5 cover for those 14 and up, $3 cover for those 3 through 13, $5 for on-premises parking each day, or free shuttle from the remote lot.
For early registration discount for the Wine Art Studio and event schedule, visit ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com.
Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 10th through the 12th at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Listen, I want to... So that's basically what... you guys got that, right? I mean...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to go too much into it, because I want to read what St. Cyprian said. This was in the 3rd century.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get this thing out of my throat, whatever it is. The Archbishop did say, Fulton Sheen, is that we're in a time of testing, and we got to be purged. excuse me. That we cannot be dead bodies floating downstream, mm-hmm. going with the flow, but we have to resist the current. So what I was saying just a little earlier, swim against the current. If we go with the world, you know, we're going to go with the world right into the abyss.
Mm-hmm.
This is a battle. St. John in his epistle, again, already going back to the early church, already when people were leaving or they were accommodating or compromising, St. John said, they did not love us really from the beginning. That is why they left us.
Mm-hmm.
And so the souls that are falling away have just failed to meet the test. It is very much like the test that the Jews had to undergo in the desert, the Israelites. But he reminds us that there will be, and we've talked about this a lot, but the Anawim, that there will be that, the few, and they're not going to be loud and aggressive, but they're going to be humble. They're going to be silent. Think of it. Pope Benedict said the false deities will be en masse with the suffering faith of simple believers. But let me try to finish this hour with these words of St. Cyprian. This is to the church that is undergoing a persecution. And Sixtus and the deacons were martyred. And Cyprian writes, I did not write to your community at once. He's writing to a specific church. My dearest brothers, he says, because all the clergy, exposed as they are to the imminent danger of being put to the test and prepared in a spirit of dedication for the divine glory of heaven, were quite unable to leave here. But you must know that the messengers whom I dispatched to Rome have now returned. I sent them to find out the truth and report back whatever may have been decreed in our regard. For many conflicting and unreliable rumors are current. The true state of affairs is this. Valerian has issued an edict to the Senate to the effect that bishops, priests, and deacons shall suffer the death penalty without delay. Senators, distinguished men and members of the equestrian class, these are Christians, are to be deprived of their rank and property, and if, after forfeiting their wealth and privileges, they still persist in professing Christianity, they too are to be sentenced to death. Ladies of the upper classes are to be deprived of their property and exiled. These are the Christians he's talking about. In the case of members of the imperial staff, any who have either previously confessed or do now confess to being Christians shall have their property confiscated and shall be assigned as prisoners to the imperial estates. To this decree, the Emperor Valerian attached a copy of the letter he had sent to the provincial governors concerning us. Every day we are hoping that this letter will arrive, for we are standing firm in faith and ready to endure suffering in expectation of winning the crown of eternal life through the help and mercy of the Lord. I must also inform you that Sixtus was put to death in a catacomb on the 6th of August, this day, and four deacons with him. Moreover, the prefects in Rome are pressing this persecution zealously and without intermission, to such a point that anyone brought before them is punished and his property is claimed by the treasury. I ask you to make these facts known to the rest of our fellow bishops, in order that by the exhortation of their pastors, the brethren everywhere may be strengthened and prepared for the spiritual combat. Let all our people fix their minds not on death, but rather on immortality. Let them commit themselves to the Lord in complete faith and unflinching courage, and make their confession with joy rather than in fear, knowing that in this contest the soldiers of God and Christ are not slain, but rather win their crowns. Farewell in the Lord, your dearest brother.
Wow.
It's a powerful reading, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a letter, actually a letter that was written to in a time of persecution. We are in a time of persecution. And it comes from within, it comes from without. Deception, seduction, the illusion, the indifference, you know? We got to keep faith. We got to keep faith, as our ancestors did. The church will endure. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We shall return. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Strong, but the inside is rot. It's time. Obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see?